Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Halliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP. That's 1-800-639-8783. Or text next step to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 Hope line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Welcome back to another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm your host, Jason Madison. As always, joined by my co-host, Mike McGoy and Chris Epps. What up, fellas?
What up?
What's up? How you doing?
Man, finally tested negative for COVID. But I'm still low-key sick. I got a cough drop in my mouth right now. And, you know, bouncing back. But yeah, let's get into it, man. How y'all been?
COVID got you down, bitch. This is like week three, week four.
It's like, yeah, it's damn near week three. It was two Saturdays ago. So yeah, I'm on day like 13 right now.
How you feeling?
I mean, I feel all right. Last night I actually felt kind of crazy, which was wild. My stomach was fucked up, my chest was fucked up, and I just tested negative. So I don't know, it was kind of wild.
But you know, we realized
the testing system is not,
you know,
everything is cracked up to be.
Yeah, man. You know, some people caught flack actually for saying we should stop testing because it really doesn't help anything.
Right.
That was a conversation at one point.
It was. Yeah. I feel now. I don't know. Hey. A lot of these medical tests are fugazi in the first place.
Yeah.
Shit, I'm not going to get into it.
But well, happy you bounced back, man. I had it too, actually. I was down 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, actually, for about a week.
Yeah.
This one, because this is probably my second time now having it.
Yeah.
This one was, I had way more congestion.
The congestion is crazy, bro.
The congestion is crazy.
Yeah, that's really what I'm dealing with right now.
Bruh. And it's like, you really can't even like sleep with your young because you nigga probably snoring like a motherfucker.
Like a motherfucker, bro. That's what I'm saying. Like, I can't really, you know? And it's like, you begging to get that sleep because you can't really fall asleep like how you want to.
Yeah.
So I sleep from like 3:30 to 8, you know what I'm saying? Right, or some weird shit. Like, so
you gotta sleep on your side because you might, you know,
I'm
on your own phlegm.
No, I'm definitely sleeping on my side, but yeah, man. Yeah. Glad to hear you bounce back as well, Mike. Our other Mike, he had it as well. So yeah, you know, we don't want to make this the COVID podcast, but it's real, y'all. And it's the wave is waving right now.
It feels like it. Look at the charts. It reminds me of 2020 March?
Yeah. So it's interesting in that regards in terms of the market.
Because the market's sick.
The market is sick as fuck.
The market is congested right now.
Man, the market needs some Mucinex, some Robitussin, and some motion. The market
needs some act.
The Fed is trying. You know, they went ahead and raised the interest rate 70 bips.
Yeah.
I got they leaked that shit too. They like leaked it.
So explain what that means, Mike.
Just 70 basis points is basically 75ths of 100 or 75 out of 100. So basically, like, if 100% is obviously the full amount, 70 bips is just, how do I say this? It's fucking, it's not a percentage. It's not a full 1%.
Right.
It's three quarters of a percent.
Of 1%. No, I got right,
yeah. Which is the benchmark. But then, you know, that actually pushed up mortgage rates almost 2 to 3%.
Right.
And then now, I mean, auto loans, bro. Like, man, listen, bro, this shit is wicked. If I were in the market right now for my Porsche that I got last year, I wouldn't buy it.
Well, I had to buy a car. I actually just bought a car this week.
Appreciating asset. Nice.
Well, I mean, I got a Prius, bro. So that asset is about as appreciated as it can get.
Right now, the old Priuses are back out. I've seen them. You know how like there's a lot of families with their third car and that's like their old one from like 2 years ago? Yeah, I see those old green faded Priuses everywhere recently. They're back
mine
out.
Mine ain't faded. Mine is the brand new paint, 40,000 miles. So it's pretty good as far as Priuses go. But that financing, they hit me for upside the head for that financing. That percentage, the APR.
Man, and I'm saying like I literally wouldn't get my car right now because that shit would have been like over the amount where I'd have felt comfortable. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. So I'm happy I did when I did.
Sometimes you just gotta flex on them, you know.
Or cash out. Sometimes you cash out.
Sometimes you got to cash out. But it's funny, I wasn't a flex at all, but it's just funny because, with the market down and all of this happening and me having to make that purchase right now, it was like, this couldn't have come at a worse time. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like I didn't want to have to make that decision, you know, but it's just that I also read an interesting article this week about what pushed me to make that decision, because I had been riding around Uber for a long time, but there was an article basically saying like, you know, what I have been experiencing, which is all of these companies, these big tech companies like Uber, Airbnb, they started out Netflix losing money, right? Like, but they did it to gain users. So that's like the new tech model is all of these companies, you know, they go in the hole for the first couple of years to build their user, their consumer base. And then they, you know, raise the rates, hike up the prices to what they should be. And then they already got you hooked. They already got their millions and millions of users. So, you know, that's basically what's been happening to millennials in terms of Uber and Airbnb as well. But Uber is obviously way more widely used. You know, when we first was using Uber, it was $3, $4, $8, $11. Now you can't get into Uber for less than $15, $20. You know what I'm saying? Right. Which is what the prices of taxis used to cost. You know, basically it's like what taxis cost. So, you know, it's no longer affordable, or it doesn't make sense financially for me, or I think most millennials, to ride in an Uber as your method of transportation anymore, as something that's cost effective. You know what I'm saying? If you're thinking about, you know, if you have to go to work every day and, you know, you have to use Uber back and forth, you're basically paying the same as you would pay for a car note, but you don't get to go anywhere. So
yeah, that was me. That was me too, actually. You know what I mean? Like about a year and a half ago, or right before COVID, I was still walking to the office half a mile away. I would take an Uber probably 3 times a week sometimes, you know what I mean? And it's like, I watched that go from $4 to $7 to $9 to $11. It's like, damn, to go half a mile?
Yep.
Yeah. Same for me when I was working at the studio down the street. Like, it was the same shit. I was just Ubering forever up until this last year.
Yeah, so so it's interesting, these tech companies in this economy, you know, and not just the tech companies, the oil companies as well. You know, ExxonMobil is making a killing right now with gas prices being hiked up to $5 a gallon, you know, plus everywhere.
Five.
Where is that dude? Yeah. They're putting water in this shit. They're putting Cairo in the gas. Right. In the gas station, dude, for sure. And it's $7 an ounce, a line.
So with that, there was another interesting article that I read this week about one of these tech companies. So the company that I have I've been soured on the most, you know, so I started off by talking about Uber and, you know, and my experience with that. And the company that I started liking 2 years ago, and, you know, I want to make sure we relate this back to crypto, was Coinbase. And now I am exclusively a fuck Coinbase nigga. It's fuck Coinbase. I'll never use Coinbase again. If I see Brian Armstrong, I might slap him in the face.
I would buff. That fool is buff, a little bit buff. I don't know if you can slap him in the face.
I should.
And just walk away. I don't know.
We might just have to catch a head up face. So Brian, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, if you hear this, might have to go head on. You know what I'm saying? I need that fade. yeah. So he cashed out, him and another CEO or one of their high level executives cashed out for $1.2 billion worth of stock in the last 6 months since the company went public. They started trading initially at $321. The company now trades at about $63 or something like that. This is in the span of little over a year, 14 months since they've gone public. It was April of 2021. I don't know what to say. How do you take $1 billion out of your company when it's lost 75%?
Don't forget
75% of its worth. And so in addition to that, I mean, you know, as the market has been tanking, I guess we'll get to that as well with this story. You know, part of their business model initially was, oh, we're not listing shit coins, and they didn't want to list Dogecoin and all of this. And now they have so many shit coins and bullshit altcoins on their fucking site. It's ridiculous. And so, yeah, all of it is going to zero.
Jason is mad, everyone. I'm sorry.
Take it easy.
Sounds like our boy Peter over here. fucking the fucking gun. Just no holds barred. It's a very fucking interesting thing. I don't feel any animosity about the selling of coin, to be honest. Mm-hmm. Because I think I think because it feels like a DeFi type move to me, like you gotta make liquidity some way, and he has a bunch more shares, right? He can only sell a certain amount because he's vested technically, like everyone else is, like in these situations.
Right.
Now the fact that he's done it, like he's done it over the year. There's shit like that that's kind of like, all right, he's not a, you know, an asshole and just dumping on everyone. And also Coinbase is down, what, 5% of it? Down 5% of its worth, you said? And that's only if they were to sell it.
I didn't say 5%. I said it's like 75%. They were trading at 320.
No, I meant their holdings.
Oh, that I don't know. You'd have to look at the financials.
I thought you were talking about that.
Yeah, you'd have to look at their books. We should all know
that, I guess, technically. They're down, but I mean, in 4 years, hopefully the thing is like that this down is literally a fucking, you know, a paper cut. Like,
if I mean, this is
what we are,
so I guess my question to you guys is, what do you think the truth of the market is? Do you think that what happened, like, and we can kind of lump Netflix in. We can kind of lump
that we need.
Kind of lump Netflix and a bunch of other stuff in there, you know, DraftKings and all that in there as well. all of this stuff that blew up during the pandemic because people didn't have anywhere to go. People were getting free money from the government. So crypto, Netflix, et cetera, is all filling the squeeze right now. And, you know, obviously that extends to the food industry, the farming industry, you know, all the industries. So I don't want to just say it's, oh, it's big tech. Like, it's not. But what do you guys think is the long-term effects of the pandemic, I guess, on the market?
I think it's been a great way to see how things can expand. And now there's also shows that there's a bunch of trash and things that we don't need, or a lot of frivolous stuff, or, you know, derivatives or reiterations of things that we don't need in the crypto and in tech. And it's the culling of that. Like, you're getting rid of a bunch of abscesses, which needs to happen, especially in crypto. We need regulations. People are like asking me about regulations for like the last few days. Like, should I be worried? I hear people talking about it. And literally that's what we need for all those shit coins on Coinbase to not come up, and for people to be able to actually like to buy something that's useful, because they're going to buy whatever Coinbase is going to list, because that's where the public goes to. They're going to buy whatever Elon's going to tell them, because that's what the public listens to. And
Mike, what you think?
I wanted to finish him to kind of finish that thought.
Like, we need this, bro. Like, this is what's supposed to happen, in my opinion. Yeah. And it's a hard thing to say.
Right. Well, yes, I agree, but I kind of see it a little differently. Yes, this is needed to happen. But also, for every action, there's a reaction, right? And so we've seen very easy money policies really since 08, where we've given all these evaluations to all these tech companies based off of future possible earnings. Mm-hmm. 5 years, 10 years to the future. We're trading stocks today based off of potential profits 5 and 10 years out from now.
Right. What Tesla can do in 10 years.
But not just Tesla. I mean, Snapchat.
Right.
The perfect example, actually. Anyway, yeah. So there's 10, 15, 20 of these companies that had these exuberant
evaluations
based off of nothing.
Right.
Right. And so to watch these evaluations come back down to some level of normalcy, it's kind of like poetic justice on one end. At the other end, this is going to cause a lot of pain for a lot of people who were invested in those companies. And I want to give you guys something actually that came from our marketing department. The average IRA size right now of the clients who are investing in the precious metals industry has ballooned over the last 5 years. It used to be the average around 70 through 80,000. The average IRA now that we're coming across is $180,000 to $300,000.
Average.
Average. Mm. And this was all accumulated by them in the last 5 through 7 years.
Yeah. Mm. So now, explain what a Roth IRA is.
Well, I mean, it's just a retirement account done by the government that basically allows you to set aside some funds for after you start working later on.
Yeah.
The Roth is taxed up front.
Yeah.
And you can add post-tax dollars to it and kind of put it away and not have to worry about being taxed later. A traditional, you put pre-tax dollars in and Uncle Sam comes for his later on.
So what made it balloon in this wave over other times?
All that stimulus going into the stock market, because right. That's ultimately where it ended up. Yeah. Whether we would like to say it got to the stock market via the Fendi store, the Gucci store, the Louis store, the Benz dealership, right. You know, whatever, it still somehow ended up
in the stock
back market. On Wall Street, right? And so because of that, that ballooned the value of everyone's retirement account up based off of that.
Mm-hmm.
But now, as of this week, actually, we've officially given back all gains that were accumulated within the last 3 years of the stock market.
Mm. That's a nice round trip.
A nice, nice round trip. And the beauty of this thing, not I don't want to say beauty, because that's kind of speaking.
Yeah, that's
Bear of Barrington, people.
Hey, the Bear of Barrington. I am loving this shit. Oh, man. The party's just getting started, too, ladies and gentlemen.
Yo, chill.
I swear to God, I just met an article just now. They said tech can still crumble another 25%.
I believe it.
And yeah. Guess what's been following tech stocks the last year and a half?
Crypto.
Yeah.
Bitcoin and ETH.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. No,
And if you pull the charts up, we're talking about almost 1-to-1.
Yeah.
Correlation is like 95% over the last year and a half.
Yep. Yeah.
So we can really kind of start trading BID and ETH kind of like a tech stock.
I mean, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. That's who's involved, and that's where the money comes from.
Right. So,
yeah.
Commodity tech stock, hopefully soon. Is that the commodity factor still? I feel like the commodity characteristics still.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's not cemented as one yet.
Did you guys hear about this lawsuit that somebody filed against Elon for $250 billion?
It's not going to work, suit. I'm here for
the
rug, it.
You said the rug suit?
The rug suit?
Yeah. Who would waste their time on that? That's just
I have no idea, dude. Man. I'm not surprised.
Yeah.
How much is Doge down?
Doge is worth. I'm surprised that Doge. I said this to myself earlier today. Yeah. I'm surprised that Doge is still worth as much as it is. It's 5 cents right now, which
it's It's a clone of Bitcoin.
Which I think is a lot for Dogecoin. I don't think it's worth 5 cents, honestly.
I don't think so either. But we were still buying it and trading it when it was at 75. So
I was never buying Dogecoin. I traded it.
Trading it.
I never bought it.
5 cents to go up.
Yeah.
Not to go down.
Trade is kind of buying it, but you know,
yeah.
You owned it.
I didn't own it. That's the thing. I was trading it.
Oh no, it wasn't his keys.
Yeah, it wasn't my keys. I couldn't have sent you. At no point could I have ever sent you any Dogecoin. Well, actually, I sent Jamal some, but I bought it. I bought it for him though. That it was never mine. I never owned it personally.
Okay. Well, it's on chain that you've owned it now, so now we all know.
Right.
Yeah, I think that shit is, you know, pretty funny. I could see it happening, not surprised. I just think it's sad that people are actually trying to do that because he did not press the button on your phone or computer to make you buy it.
Right.
You know, it's
yeah, I mean
he didn't even talk about buying it. All he did was say that he wants to do stuff with it.
Yeah,
to be honest.
And Doge to the moon.
Yeah, like that's all he did. Like he didn't advertise you to go buy it. There was people getting scammed on YouTube,
right,
with those, you know, deep fake things or like just edited videos.
Hey, did you see that deep fake of him, the Asian dude that was like a deep fake of him?
The deep fake Asian Elon? Yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I've seen a few actually. Yeah. It's a couple of deep fake Elons out there.
That's wild, man. That's pretty wild.
Man, speaking of wild things, I'm looking at right now actually. The new Arizona tall can price has increased.
No, it's not.
I swear to God. I think this is real. This looks like it could be real, but you know what? Hey, it could be Photoshop.
Yeah.
Who knows?
I think you're being fooled by the internet.
I don't know. Apparently, they've increased the pricing to $1.29 now.
No, that's real inflation right there.
That is how you know. Those basis points are going up.
Yeah,
that's the last American staple right there. That's the last American.
Nah, we got the Costco
staple.
Costco hot dog.
Yeah, the Costco hot dog for $1.50.
The only staple point you can
allow.
Hello, listener. Guess who's back? It's me, Anthony Mays, your favorite butcher turned podcast producer, and I'm here to talk to you about ButcherBox. ButcherBox is the most convenient way to get high quality meat and seafood that you can trust delivered straight to your doorstep. Free shipping, vacuum sealed packaging. It's ready to go right then. It's ready to pop in the freezer. You get exclusive member deals and a variety of high quality cuts at an amazing value. Going to the grocery store can be a huge pain. You're usually in a rush at an inconvenient time. You're waiting in line at the meat counter. You're taking a number. Maybe this place doesn't have a number. You're jostling with fellow customers. You're trying to get that ribeye that you want or that nice piece of salmon. Maybe the butcher that you're dealing with has a bad attitude or something. I don't know. That was never me, I promise. But maybe it happens. ButcherBox takes all of that out of the picture. You are always prepared with meat and seafood in the freezer, and you're not going to find quality for this price anywhere else other than ButcherBox. So sign up at butcherbox.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S, and get our special deal. ButcherBox is offering our listeners a free for a year offer plus an additional $20 off. You can choose salmon, chicken breasts, or steak tips free in every order for a year. Sign up today at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, to choose your free for a year offer plus get $20 off your first order. Hello, listener. I'm sure you don't need me to tell you that we at Cinephobe love our pets. Zach and Boogie are inseparable. I've got two cats and a dog, and Amin is giving his best ass on performance to convince dog owners that he loves their pet.
Hey, little, hey, boy, how you doing? And Noodles is like,
ah, whatever. Which is why today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program. For many pet parents, summer is all about making travel plans like adventuring through the national parks, visiting pet-friendly beaches, or road tripping across the country. Wherever your journeys take you and your furry friend, you can help protect them along the way with a plan from ASPCA Pet Health Insurance. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are, because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account. To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/dings, D-I-N-G-S. That's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. Again, that's aspcapetinsurance.com/dings. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance.
Hey, so it's funny. I have to admit, you know, I mean, obviously we're always wrong when it comes to the market. There should be a segment dedicated to us being wrong in the market. But me.
Yeah, there we go.
But I was talking about Bitcoin being a stable coin because it wasn't going under 30,000 a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, boy, was I wrong about that. Bitcoin went to 20,000. And yeah.
It's going to 11, bro.
It's going to 11? Where's? Oh, my
God. I've been saying this the whole time. Rewind.
No, now that I've heard that 11. Same price point, 11, 12, like, five times in the last 3 days. Now I know it's like, all right, let's go. It might go to 15, 17 for like 30 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. Jamal said 13. He said 18, then 13. All right.
So it's going to 18 for like 30 seconds.
Oh,
15. Like intraday?
Yeah.
It's not going to be, it's going to be a nice market maker wick. It's going to be just a little, you know, bee's dick wick.
So what about ETH under 1,000?
I don't give price points for ETH because it's just so elastic, bro. That shit just goes wherever. And it's used, it's got way more of a, you know, many more variables to consider, like the fucking merge thing, the staked ETH fiasco that happened because of Celsius and the whole Celsius dying, which we didn't get to talk to. That's the newest Terra.
Oh yeah, yeah. That should have been our big topic.
Wait, Chris, what happened with the stake ETH?
So you can stake ETH, you know, the staked ETH for the ETH2, which is called STETH or STETH.
Yeah, STETH
or Beacon ETH or whatever. You can, you know, it's illiquid. But there's, you know, a bunch of DGens and DeFi people who wanted to get some yield off of that. And so like Aave and some other protocols made it so that you can, and Celsius made it so you can use your ETH2 staked ETH to get yield. So one of the reasons why the ETH price has been crashing so crazily in general, it feels like it's been pretty volatile, more than usual for a crash, is because people had to unwind that staked ETH loans that they were using and get their, you know, make sure they don't get liquidated. And in the process, same with, you know, Celsius and Aave both had a bunch of staked ETH and they're connected, and DeFi, everyone's all connected. So this whole Celsius, which everyone, I think a lot of people might have heard of, it's an app, which is a CeFi, decentralized finance, CeFi, DeFi.
I mean, let me explain Celsius real quick.
You can get loans off of it. It's
me explain it in layman's terms real quick. So Celsius is a app or a website that you can use to basically, you take a loan out on your Bitcoin or other coin. So if you have $10,000 worth of Bitcoin, you place it on this website, they hold it, and you can take out $5,000 or usually around 50% of whatever it is, whatever the value of your token is, in cash immediately. And then you can pay it back whenever you want. But as the value of your asset decreases, so if you have 10,000 worth of Bitcoin at $30,000, once Bitcoin reaches $20,000, your $10,000 worth of Bitcoin is no longer worth $10,000. You have to pay back your loan once the loan to value ratio reaches a certain amount. And so basically it is a another form of leverage and another form of gambling. It's a lower form of leverage. It's not 10x. It's basically a 2x leverage is what you're doing. And so, yeah, a lot of people with a lot of money use Celsius, and I used Nexo, and I got burnt by Nexo because when the market crashes, they want you to pay the loan back immediately. If you don't, they sell your Bitcoin or whatever. You get liquidated. Basically, you get liquidated from what you are loaning out. So imagine if you had a house and you refinanced your house. This is basically the same principle of refinancing or pulling a loan out on a property or something that you own. But imagine if that thing, the value of it crashed and then they sold it immediately and you didn't have a chance to purchase it back.
Yeah. And so with the, you know, ETH price crashing and all this DeFi stuff tangled into each other with different apps, Aave is connected to Celsius because they both have state, like Celsius having to unwind, people in Celsius having to unwind those loans of staked ETH affects the other parts of the market that use staked ETH, like Aave or whoever else. And so it's like a cascading shitstorm of, you know, people having to sell their product, which makes the price go down lower, which makes liquidation prices get closer and closer. And same with the leverage stuff. It's just everything's over levered technically, which is a problem with most of these markets in general. Most markets in general, there's a lot of leverage and stuff, even up to commodities or even up to like fucking corn and shit like that. Like,
yeah. So,
so yeah, it's just the
so the company itself was actually over leveraged.
They're over leveraged, and a lot of other funds were into them that were also into Terra, like Three Arrows Capital, something, a fund that I used to kind of look at.
Yeah, Zhu Xu is he Chinese?
I think he's Taiwanese.
Okay, investor with Three Arrows Capital. He's a very popular guy on the internet. I followed him. Chris followed him. Chris, you said
I was a big proponent of him.
Yeah.
I used to like listen to his calls.
Yeah.
But he has a big mouth and he's a little bit, he fucked up in general because he was a big Terra guy, a big Solana guy, a big AVAX guy. He made like
the this narrative. Guy just loves winners.
He loves, yeah. He was upset about the ETH prices, ETH gas prices being too high when he's, you know, playing with his millions and billions of dollars and selling on people and dumping on people. he didn't like that he had to pay fees, so he started touting these other chains and other protocols that aren't always as good as people say and believe. But the gas is cheaper, so you know, you can go play with, you know, cheap gas, and you can put cheap gas in your car, you look what happens. It's the same thing. That's something I've learned. That's something I've always believed, and I try to like try to be impartial and check out this stuff. But again, this is the culling I'm talking about. This is the stuff that kind of has to happen.
Yeah.
And then in the bear market, everything kind of like, you know, thins out, and the people who stay and build and mostly will be on Ethereum, and there'll be new stuff again.
Well, it seems like a lot of these guys are very cocky up until the very end, right? Until they get caught.
Yeah.
They have this same similar quality, which is, you know, very much like a salesman quality or a shiesty quality or however you want to look at it.
I wouldn't say that. I would say they have more of a personality of a small business owner that struck success. And it's, you know, you can't tell me anything. I've accomplished this. I've gotten this far. I know more than you about this. And it's like, okay, until you don't, right? Mm-hmm. And we're starting to really see these guys come out of the woodworks now because they got, you know, egg on their face now, looking goofy. And it was all good just a week ago, you know what I mean? When the evaluations were in the B's, we're looking at houses in Malibu, trying to get next to your boy Sam. And it's like, you know, all that's great for sure. Until then, like, damn. I thought I was the smartest guy in the room.
Yeah.
Until I'm not.
Until you're not.
And yeah, but unfortunately for these guys, you know, for these guys, they didn't take into consideration market cycles. And that's the part that bothers me is like the people who were writing code or drafting products that were what? Only designed to go one direction. How realistic is that?
Right.
Yeah.
In any market, right? There's going to be some type of volatility. But that shouldn't shake you off your post because you're so highly leveraged up. So this is on them. And I have no remorse. Again, I'm fucking laughing because this is what they get. Hopefully they learn from that. And, you know, they wipe their tears away with their millions. So what?
So on that note, it seems like, and I'm just interested to hear your perspective. It seems like Richard Hart may be the next domino to fall. Hex price is in the tank. You know, the Pulse bag is still loading. And I mean, he's spending money. He's keeping a good face. He's still, you know, doing his videos online. He's still responding to everybody on Twitter. But again, it's all good until it's not. And I'm not, there's a few people that I follow. Mike Alford is one of them, who predicted the Celsius decline for months. And he's now started to predict the hex, you know, to zero.
Okay, but even to that point, hex started off, I don't want to say less than zero, but less than a penny.
Right.
So even if we went to a penny, I mean, it would be in profit.
Okay.
So like significant profit, actually.
So how do you view his Richard's business practices versus some of these other characters?
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, Solana. So his next competitor would be Solana. If you're looking at network and how it operates, and Hex compared to Solana, I mean, Hex has never gone down. Like not price wise.
I mean, it's going down.
the network, the important part, has never gone down.
Uh huh.
We've now had, nine outages on Solana at this point now?
Right.
Right? Which now is starting to affect the price of it substantially because it continues to go down. So, I mean, I really believe that that he is trying to weather this bear market before dropping it. Mm-hmm. And I'm not mad at that, actually. Not mad at that at all. And the fact that, again, he hasn't gone underground. He's still posting, still tweeting.
Yeah.
I mean, this, you know, if you're looking to scam somebody, this is like probably the best way not to do it.
Or, I mean, you can look at it the opposite way. You can say it is the best way to do it.
How? When you're still, listen, he is too visible at this point now. People knows what he looked like on every continent. You can't go anywhere.
But that's kind of the point that I'm making about these other guys, you know, Doquan, Zusu, all of these guys, everybody kind of has followed that same pattern where they get loud, they're in the public view, you know, this happens in the NFT space as well. And then they get, you know, whatever the event is that wipes them out or, you know, shows the fallacy of what they're doing happens. And then, you know, they turn into who they really are or whatever other side of the character they are when things aren't going well. So I'm just saying, it's not that him showing face does not absolve him of any issues that he may be dealing with.
I think that we're trying to put issues on someone that we don't even know if they even have issues with their network. We're just looking at straight price performance. And right. Our price performance is actually right in line with the rest of the market, down 85, 90%.
Okay, yeah, so you don't think that he's gonna experience the same type of issues that these other guys have experienced?
Not like that. I don't think so. Not like.
Yeah, it's just a question. I'm not, because I don't know. Like, I don't know. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know until this stuff hits the net. I don't know these inner workings, the smart contracts, this, the net. Yep. You know, like, I only know when it hits the net and it's all going bad and everybody knows.
I think because Hex is on Ethereum, it's not going to have, like, a crazy loan liquidation issue, which is all these other things are doing. Like, they're taking stuff from one chain to another and loaning it out and then, like, all wound up in crazy shit.
Yeah, right. And I guess that's my other question was, like, Why do you think he's not having the same experience, you know, as
he's
as,
not doing that. He's not right. doing that crazy stuff.
Yeah. Yet. And that was
like, that could happen to any protocol. I think that's doing like Olympus and all the other DeFi stuff that we were talking about and into a year ago. Most DeFi stuff, mm-hmm. they all basically have this issue. It's liquidation. It's over leverage.
Right.
Technically, it's all leverage. It just depends on how much leverage you're using. And then the market isn't going to go up forever and people forget about it. Like Mike said, like it's that's the issue with the Hex. I believe it's just stuff that's vaulted up and on a time, it's like time contract is different than you know, getting fronted for your Bitcoin or ETH.
Right. And I think his business model protected him and he's smarter than the other guys in terms of like the way he structured things because the concept of the sacrifice, you know, and all of that versus using
the ICO.
Yeah. Using people's money to create leverage. And then, yeah, when the market tanks, then, you know, you got to rob Peter to pay Paul.
Well, if I'm hearing you correctly, the reason why his product is not tanking is because he didn't do all the things that the other people did who are tanking.
Right. Yeah. No. And that's why we had the conversation to kind of get clarity on what the differences are. He actually tweeted something that you said a lot. He tweeted, I don't know if you saw it, the Liquors Lady and Ladies in Leverage. He tweeted that.
he didn't make that up. That's one of those just classic Wall Street things. But and one thing that I do appreciate is he has that understanding of actually mm-hmm. being in sales, being in financial sales. So there's an understanding of certain, you know, parameters of what to do and what not to do.
Yeah.
Right. And as, again, a 16 year financial professional myself, like I could identify what he's doing and trying to maneuver around certain things. It's like, damn, I actually appreciate that. Yeah. So I don't know. We'll see how it pans out, but as of right now, I mean, I'm still confident in Pulse and the other project, actually. It's going to be interesting to see how it pans out, though.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, what are your guys feeling on the market? You know, the markets, I guess I should say, moving forward through the summer, you know, with Jerome making his... raising rates and, you know, them trying to make the stock market bounce back.
Make it busting for real.
Yeah.
I mean, by raising rates, you're not trying to make the stock market go back, you know, or it's going back down.
Well, so what do you think they're accomplishing by doing that?
They want us to stop spending money.
Yeah.
Nah, like, that's like that, bro, at core, like, when you study for Series 7, the first thing they tell you, it's like, they use, the Fed uses the interest rates like a spigot for the economy.
Right.
And so they tighten the spigot when they want us to spend less.
Yeah.
And they want less water to come out.
Right.
They open the spigot when they want to flood the market with as much, you know, water as possible.
Yeah.
And so right now they're just tightening the spigot. There's an article on CNBC actually 2 days ago that I sent to my girl. It was like, millionaires are choosing, or millionaire millennials, here it is, are delaying home and car purchases.
Yeah.
Right, due to inflation. No, that's not inflation. It's due to rising interest rates.
Right.
So just for short math here, car that I, you know, my car was the initial rate was like $1,250, $1,230. Right now, the same car, I would be paying almost $1,500, $1,600 for.
Right.
Right. And that's that's like a whole, like, nah, you know, it's a whole extra $300 or $400. Like, I could actually probably hold off on that.
Yeah.
The same thing for, we're looking at you know, homes to move into right now. And it's like, man, so they say the average home in America is $400,000. From January 1st to today, the initial payment has raised from roughly around $2,000. To currently $2,700-$2,800 per $400,000.
Yeah.
So you multiply that 3 and 4 times, which is the home prices in Los Angeles or the surrounding, you know, suburbs.
Right.
And now house notes have gone from $5,000 to like now almost $7,500 for that same house.
Yeah.
You would just rather rent it for $4,500.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
It's not just me thinking this way. Anyone with fucking half a decent brain is like, hey, yeah, you know, I'd rather just rent this same house for $5,000 opposed to buying it for $7,800, including taxes and all the rest of this shit per month. So this is what the Fed does to dissuade people like us from purchasing. They raise the interest rates, make money more unaffordable.
Yeah. Make the assets more unaffordable. Make borrowing money, I guess, is what you mean.
Make more, money, right?
Yeah. Make borrowing money
more affordable.
Yeah. Makes sense. Well, save your money, people.
Yeah, do what Elon does and just don't buy don't live anywhere. Just be a nomad bum.
Right. Yeah.
He does, right? He just lives in different places and rents out a room or some shit.
I appreciate his perspective on real estate because I'm one that kind of has one similar, which is like you really never own it. You're constantly paying taxes on it, even if you have paid the bill on it. So you really actually kind of never really own it. And he was just like, man, I could just rent shit for the rest of my life and actually save money. Actually save money.
Yeah. And rent fly shit too. If you want it.
Every 2 years. Yeah, I'm in some notes.
Yeah. So, yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this has been another episode of Crypto Bros. I'm Jason Madison for Mike McGoy and Chris Epps. We'll holler at y'all next week. Y'all be safe out there. Don't get COVID. Save your money and watch your back.
Stay above water.
Take profits.